Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. This is not breaking news, but healthcare costs in the USA continue to climb. Americans spend more than twice as much per capita on healthcare than any other industrialized nation. But many studies have shown we don't have better healthcare or even better health as a result. The American Board of Internal Medicine Foundation has launched Choosing Wisely. That's a campaign intended to identify costly and unnecessary care and get patients to have more informed conversation with their doctors about that care. Joining me today is Neil Goldfarb. He's the president and CEO of the Greater Philadelphia Business Coalition on Health. He has more than four decades' experience in research on quality and cost of care, as well as health policy and population health. He joins us from the studios of WHYY in Philadelphia. Neil, welcome to Health Connections.
Good afternoon, Brandon. Good to be here.
Choosing Wisely is a name that has been applied to this larger program, this sort of awareness and action program. Tell us a little bit about what is meant by Choosing Wisely, what the goals of that program are.
Sure. So we know that we spend around 35% of our total healthcare spend on waste, services that could have been avoided, unnecessary duplicative services, services that are ordered that will really not change the patient's outcome or diagnosis or treatment plan. And the goal of Choosing Wisely is to engage consumers as well as providers, physicians, and other kinds of providers in choosing services more wisely, in choosing to do things that will help to establish a diagnosis, help to advance the treatment plan, improve outcomes, and not to choose services that really add no value but just add cost.
Well, I'm not a medical professional, so when I go to my provider, I kind of let them have the steering wheel on medical issues. How would I, as a consumer, know the difference between a necessary test or an important test and one that might be unnecessary or unneeded? How do I differentiate those?
That's a great question, and I will say I'm not a medical professional either. I've been working in quality and safety improvement for 40 years, so I've learned a lot about healthcare. But you don't have to be a medical professional to engage in the kinds of conversations we would like to stimulate. So one of the tools that's offered by the Choosing Wisely campaign is called the Five Questions Card. And it's a guide to consumers in terms of what kinds of questions should you be asking your provider when the provider recommends or orders a particular test or procedure. So is this necessary? How will it change my outcome? What will happen if I don't use this test? How much is this going to cost me? Those kinds of questions. And the tool is meant to engage the consumer and the provider in having a conversation. Sometimes just having the patient or consumer ask these questions will help the provider to say, gee, maybe we really don't need to do this, or this is a patient who's concerned about costs. Maybe we can get away with not doing a test that I know really is not going to change the treatment plan or outcome.
Do you find that people are generally reluctant to challenge their physicians, and maybe that's why these conversations don't happen more frequently?
I think it is a combination of not wanting to challenge the provider and also not having the information to either discuss it with the provider or understand if what the provider is telling you is legitimate or not. We call this asymmetry of information, where the provider clearly has expertise, went to medical school, did a residency, has been practicing for years. I'm just a consumer. So even for me personally, Neil Goldfarb, as an informed consumer, when my provider recommends a particular test, I know it's difficult to process what the provider is telling me when I ask these questions, and I may ultimately defer to my provider's judgment. So I wouldn't view it as challenging the provider. I would view it as engaging with the provider in order to protect yourself or your loved ones and make sure that what is being ordered really is appropriate.
One of the things you study, Neil, then, in your role, is employer-based health coverage, which is the kind many Americans have. We've been talking about it so far from the patient experience. What are the potential benefits for employers and the people who are providing the coverage if people like me are having those kinds of conversations and reducing those costs?
employers provide health care benefits for more than half of Americans, and half of the health care system is being funded by employers and their sponsorship of insurance. So clearly, employers have skin in this game. And when I say that 35% of what they're spending is potentially waste, and there's an opportunity to reduce even a small fraction of that waste, that will resonate with employers. I'd like to believe that employers care about their workforce, care about workforce health and productivity, and want to see patients get care that is good. So it's not just about cost control. It really is about ensuring quality of care.
What kind of reception have you gotten so far from the business community? I would think this is a fairly appealing argument.
I think it is. And I think for some employers, there is concern about they do not want to be seen as trying to intervene or interfere in the patient's health care. They don't want to be seen as just cutting costs at the expense of quality. So we've needed to do a lot of education with employers about the current state of the healthcare system, the fact that they're not getting good value for their healthcare spend, and that they can educate and engage consumers in a way that is collaborative or cooperative rather than threatening and punitive.
It sounds like what you're describing is trying to thread a needle where you're trying to save money or make a decision that is perhaps more medically sound and financially sound without having the optics of looking like Ebenezer Scrooge. Is that about right?
I think that's a fair statement. At the same time, you know, I would say, look, employers are offering health care coverage to their employees, but they're really struggling to make that happen. Health care costs keep going up. We've seen many employers put in more cost-sharing, high-deductible health plans, as an example, in order to mitigate the pain of increasing costs. Several years ago, General Motors came out and said they were spending more on health care associated with each car than they were with the steel in that car. And that tells us something. For American businesses to sustain their place in the world economy, we have to get a handle on healthcare costs. And a great way to start is to reduce the unnecessary spending.
Some of our listeners right now might be saying, okay, why are we listening to a guy from Philadelphia who works in Philadelphia talking on this Knoxville and East Tennessee radio station? The short answer of that is you were brought down earlier this year to talk to a group called Healthcare 21 right here in Knoxville. That's a coalition of employers and the folks who provide insurance like we've been talking about in this conversation. I think it's also a signal this is kind of a national conversation. It goes beyond just the Northeast or just metro areas. Talk to me a little bit about how this issue is being sorted out nationally.
Sure. So the Choosing Wisely campaign is a national campaign started by the American Board of Internal Medicine Foundation. There are coalitions like mine and like the Healthcare 21 Coalition in Eastern Tennessee that are increasingly getting engaged with how can we build on the Choosing Wisely tools that are already out there. The Healthcare 21 Coalition and the Greater Philadelphia Coalition are members of the National Alliance of Healthcare Purchaser Coalitions, an alliance of 50 regional coalitions across the country. And one of the advantages to us of being in this national alliance is that we learn from each other, we develop resources and approaches to different problems together. So there are several coalitions around the country, including Healthcare 21 in Greater Philadelphia, that have said, let's really focus on the Choosing Wisely campaign and what we local coalitions can do. And so that's why Healthcare 21 invited me to come down to Knoxville to talk about both the national effort and what we're doing in Philadelphia. We all can learn from each other about how do you take a set of tools like this and roll it out on the local level, because healthcare is really local.
Well, we've been talking in this conversation about the present. Let's talk a little bit about the future. How do you see this continuing to make inroads or get into people's minds? Just kind of what is the outlay from where you're seeing as you're looking at this and investigating and working to lower healthcare costs in the particular modes that we've talked about today? How does the immediate future look? Where do you think this is headed?
Yeah, nothing in healthcare moves that quickly, so I'm not sure we can talk, Brandon, about the immediate future. But we need to keep making progress in these areas. So I do think there's increasing recognition that we need to address waste. Senator Lamar Alexander in Tennessee has been a national champion for how is the federal government as well as state governments going to move this agenda forward. And so the National Alliance has sent some feedback to Senator Alexander, including information on how we are working with the Choosing Wisely campaign. So I think it's great to see that there's more federal interest in what can we do to reduce waste. I think that employers increasingly are giving thought to the fact that they shouldn't be covering all services and that there are some services that are just not adding any value to healthcare. And so I think we will, over time, over the next 5 years, see more decisions about not covering certain services that are adding no value to healthcare. On the flip side, I'd like to believe that employers will start to say, let's remove the financial barriers like high co-payments, out-of-pocket payments. Let's remove those for services that are high value. And so a good example of that is let's lower the patient's out-of-pocket expenses for life-saving medications, for chronic medications like insulin. These are things that are happening now among some large employers in the United States, and I think that movement will spread because the current path is unsustainable.
Neil Goldfarb, president and CEO of the Greater Philadelphia Business Coalition on Health. He joined us from the studios of WHYY in Philadelphia. Neil, such a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate the opportunity.